figuring out the best way to handle school when a new contagious disease is ravaging our communities is difficult, as an understatement. Wisconsin teachers, parents, administrators, and kids are all facing different schedules and variables. And that's the focus of our discussion now on The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We have a leader in the state's education department with us on this edition of the State Capitol Report, and we're taking your calls. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. What is your experience with school districts in your part of the state? What do you need to know to prepare for the next semester or trimester or quarter? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Mike Thompson is the second highest state education official in Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. Deputy State Superintendent, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Keeley. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. How is the Department of Instruction advising school districts to move forward in this pandemic?
Well, as you know, this pandemic has been challenging for everybody. It's been something that we have been very difficult to predict how this would go during the school year, and that's what districts are dealing with. All districts, virtually all districts in the state this summer, plan for three different types of options to provide instruction to kids: total virtual, a hybrid model which combines virtual with in-person, and total in-person instruction. They plan that for the summer, and they're finding that that's what they're needed to do this school year. With the unpredictability of the pandemic, many districts had to implement all three of those models at different times. And as we have advised districts, the school year is and looking very different than any other school year, and their planning that they have done in the summer is really paying off.
Having those different models that they can switch among then.
That's what they've been doing. They've been switching among models throughout the school year.
And does DPI set certain criteria that suggests, hey, when your school, if it's a hybrid model or you have in-person kids, if you hit this threshold of confirmed cases or if there's community spread to this degree in your area, then we recommend you pull kids from in-person school? Are there clear-cut recommendations for districts?
There are recommendations for districts. The primary partnership around those types of discussions is with the health department. Their local public health departments and the state health departments around what are the factors that they need to look at to determine, is it safe to open? What type of model do we need to deploy right now in this current situation? So it varies across the state. It's because the pandemic varies across the state, and they're in constant communication with local public health departments to make those decisions.
Governor Evers says there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to education in a public health crisis. Teachers' unions, though, have advocated for metrics that would require schools to switch to virtual learning based on COVID-19 levels in the community. So do you anticipate that you would go beyond the recommendations you have now to create different kinds of thresholds or like a specific rubric that an individual school could use to say, this is the time when to keep our kids safe, we need to go virtual, or it's safe, let's keep kids in school?
Yeah, I do believe that is kind of the debate. People would like uniformity across the state, but the fact of the matter is this pandemic isn't doesn't adhering to those guidelines of uniformity. It is different in every community, and so I believe that will continue. Districts will make decisions based on the needs of their individual students, the needs within their individual communities, and the needs that they discuss with their local public health department. And it's difficult when one school down the road decides that they need to close or go to a different instructional model than the school maybe 15 miles down the road. But I can tell you the discussions that those school districts have with their communities and their local public health departments take into account what is in the best needs of our students at this time during this pandemic and when they make those decisions.
Mike Thompson is the Deputy State Superintendent for Wisconsin Schools, and we are talking about guidance information that the Department of Public Instruction is providing to schools across Wisconsin as we try our best to educate kids here in our state during a pandemic. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What has your school district told you about what's happening in January? What are your most pressing questions for someone who helps to lead the Department of Public Instruction? give us a call now. That number again is 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. And Deputy State Superintendent, the things you just listed that school boards, that administrators, principals, and teachers are having to work through right now, that is not a short list. Are schools equipped to really do all of this work that's brand new, that we're all learning and building as we go?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, Kaylee. I will say this, school districts are tremendous planners. Well, it's not very difficult to plan when you're changing on a dime, but they've done a lot of planning this summer. This has been extremely challenging times for schools, but it's been challenging times for everybody, both parents and trying to figure out how they, you know, have access to childcare and manage their own jobs. Schools are no different. They are spending an incredible amount of time in that planning. They spend an incredible amount of time in collaboration with their communities, in collaboration with their public health departments, and in collaboration with other districts. We're all trying to get through this. And I believe school districts are doing a pretty darn good job of managing this crisis that continues to change as the months go by.
Yeah, I think many, you know, my question comes from this idea that I assume that school districts are doing the best that they can. And what I wonder is that going to be good enough?
Well, that is another great question. It's certainly, we're going to see learning loss from this pandemic. Certainly, we're going to see the challenges as kids come back in a normal educational environment will increase with the, you know, social and emotional needs of kids and the academic needs. So as districts plan to get through the current pandemic, we do see the light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines coming. And I know districts are turning to, what does it look like when we come back from COVID? How do we meet the needs of kids going forward? That is not going to be an immediate solution. And to be able to come back to COVID, what will education look like outside of COVID? How will we make sure that the learning loss some kids did experience, we can accelerate the learning so they can catch up? And that will be a long-term kind of commitment to children rather than we'll all fix it once we're out of the pandemic. The needs of schools coming out of this pandemic will be greater and different than they were from year to year in a normal year.
And not only do we have the student achievement piece, but we also hear school district leaders saying students rely on schools for more than coursework. It's where they get meals. It's a place where people watch to make sure that they're safe. What do you want to say about how much we're expecting of schools?
Well, we expect a lot of schools, and schools step up to those expectations. But it is all those factors. It's not only the academic piece. It is the social-emotional needs of kids. It is the needs of kids, as you mentioned, Kaylee, about feeding children, keeping them safe, keeping them in an environment where they can thrive and meet their full potential. This pandemic has just exacerbated all those challenges that school districts face. And, you know, so we know that school districts are going to need to look at the resources and look at the resources that they do have to provide education for kids going forward and provide for those needs that they're going to see coming back into the schoolhouse when this pandemic finally is over.
Yeah, and we don't know when that'll happen, so everybody is still trying to figure that all out. We're talking with Mike Thompson, who stays with us here on the State Capitol Report. He's the Deputy State Superintendent for Wisconsin Schools. That means he's the second in command at the state agency that sets policies for Wisconsin's K-12 schools. And you have a line to him at 800-642-1234. What have you learned from this last bit of time of having school during COVID-19? What aspects do you think really work, and what parts do you think need to go? Let's talk about it. Maybe you're a parent or a teacher whose kid did online school this semester or was in person. Let's talk about the challenges and the opportunities we see here as we figure out how to educate kids in the middle of a pandemic. I'm Kaylee Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. School kids in Wisconsin have a short week ahead of the Christmas holiday and winter break. That looks different depending on your district. Kids might be boarding buses and heading into classrooms all day. Some are doing that just part-time, and others are firing up the digital devices for learning over video calls. We're talking about the state of K-12 education here in Wisconsin. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kaylee Boltina. Our guest is the person who's second from the top of the state's Department of Public Instruction. That's Deputy State Superintendent Mike Thompson. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Denise in Viroqua is on the line. Good morning, Denise.
Hi, thanks. So I'm a school teacher in rural Wisconsin, and I have a huge concern for, we have a class of juniors of maybe 40 kids, and 17 of them are not on track to graduate. And we're looking at options like the Challenge Academy. And I really don't feel like something like that is necessarily the best solution to address what we're looking at is going to be the COVID generation, the COVID class. I don't think these kids should be in school for another 5 years. But we have to come up with something, and I'm wondering what your guest has suggested for this.
Denise, thank you so much for the call. And Deputy State Superintendent, what do you say to Denise?
Well, first of all, Denise, thanks for everything that you do and your concern. I do know people closest to the kids, like you are, care most about those kids. And how do we get those kids back on track coming out of this pandemic? In some cases, the kids going through this pandemic will be stronger for having gone through it. And for some of these kids, their impact on learning will be great. We do need to look at ways that we can accelerate their learning as we go forward to get kids across the line, to get kids career and college ready. And that is what we're, those are the discussions that are going on all over the state right now, Denise, on how do we ensure that kids that have had learning loss that are on our track to graduate, we can get them to that line. How will an education look different over the next several months and in the next several years to help them get that? We'll do everything that we can. And I know your school district will do everything they can to make sure that these kids aren't negatively impacted by this virus to the best of our ability, but this virus has been the biggest disruption in education that we've historically have ever had, and we don't have all the answers on how to make sure that we get kids across that finish line, but we're working towards that. And that part of it is, how do we accelerate their learning? How do we focus on the key concepts that they need to know to get them across that finish line so they are not their future is not jeopardized, that they can go on to post-secondary education, go on to, you know, careers and go on to college and those types of things. So I encourage you to stay engaged at your local level. You're going to have some really good thoughts about how to do that in the classroom, how to do that with what we're doing currently over the next several months, and keep your voice active, because I think teachers' voice in all of this is critically important of how we meet the needs of these kids going forward.
Speaking of teachers, I mean, teachers union representatives have told WPR that school boards would benefit from minimum requirements or more guidance from DPI to at least provide political cover. And so what's your message to local school administrators who are balancing public health guidance, but they're also facing immense pressure from their communities?
Yeah, I will say to those folks, I know that those folks that are running our schools and preparing our schools haven't thought of anything else since last March around this, and are working night and day to work through this issue. We have made a commitment at the department that if there are things that we can get out of the way that are challenges to school districts to provide the right services from kids, we will look at doing that, whether it be changing policy at the state that we have controlled this to change, whether it be administrative rules that we can go through an administrative rule process to change to get things out of the way, or whether it was working collectively with others to change legislation that's no longer relevant in today's environment around schools, we'll work to do that. And so we say to school districts, do what you need to do. Let us know how we can support and help you do what you need to do through this pandemic. And then let's collectively talk about what we need to change to go forward as we come out of the pandemic.
We have heard infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci say that in-person education should be the default position. I mean, he also said shut down the bars, open the schools, and Wisconsin is not shutting down the bars. So there's an element there that we're not following when it comes to his advice. But Republican lawmakers in our assembly have put forward a plan that would require teachers and students to be in the classroom, a more prescriptive approach than DPI has taken. So what support can the state educators provide schools if they need to conduct in-person learning?
Yeah, I can tell you this. I do know that school districts and their planning in the summer, their number one priority is, and it always has been, even prior to the pandemic, is the health and safety and well-being of their students. That's how they've gone about their planning. That's how they made decisions about what type of instructional model to deploy. It's in, and that's how it should continue. I put a lot of faith in local school districts, local school boards, in really looking at the health and safety of children. I don't think there is a person that would not like to see all kids back in an in-school environment full time. That's what we're all working towards. That's what we're trying to make sure we can mitigate the health and safety aspects that are out there. We ought to continue to move towards making schools, providing resources to schools so they can, to the best of their ability, open schools up totally. Hopefully the teachers get prioritized in that vaccine schedule as it rolls out. Hopefully we have access to more testing so we can really know quickly when people are symptomatic, if those symptoms are a result of COVID, and they can have rapid access to testing. So there are things the state can do to help make sure that those environments are safe for kids and safe for teachers. But the decisions currently that are being made around whether they go through a virtual model at times, whether they go to a hybrid or in-person, are all based on the health and safety needs of kids. And that's where it should always remain. That should be the primary factor of making decisions through this pandemic of what type of instruction to provide.
Michael from Lake Geneva emailed and applauds the state for its common sense approach to governing in the education realm. Michael says it would be easy to create rules for everyone. Instead, creating guidelines and systems that support local government is what I believe has helped them be successful. Thanks so much for that email, Michael. And we're talking with Mike Thompson, who's the Deputy State Superintendent for Wisconsin Schools, here on the State Capitol Report. And Rachel in Antigo is on the line. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a principal in here in northern Wisconsin, and we've been fortunate enough to stay in person all year. And that's really due to the work that the district put in over the summer and the teachers and the IAs on the ground. You know, we're wearing masks, we're social distancing, we're hand washing. But what, you know, we really need is help from the community to stay open. We know that in-person learning is best for kids. But in order to do that, we need the community to also follow those safe practices. So I just hope that if people are listening, like, we are really trying really hard to stay open. We are doing everything we can to follow the guidance of our health department, and they've been really, really great to work with. And the guidance that DPI gave us to start off the year was really helpful. So I just ask that the community help us out as well.
Rachel, thank you for helping us understand your perspective on this. And Deputy State Superintendent, any response to Rachel?
Yeah, I will just say, well said, Rachel. You really reflect what I hear from principals across the state of what you're trying to do and the commitment you've made. I don't know, you probably haven't had a lot of sleep since March because of the work that you're doing, but I want to thank you for your work and thank you for that. And it is, this is a community effort around how do we overcome this pandemic in a lot of different areas of society, including education. So how well this works, how well Antigo is doing in implementing their strategies really is dependent on the community working together, collaborating with the community to make those things happen. So great work going on in our state, exactly what Rachel has talked about.
We have just a bit of time left, and I need to ask you about the state budgeting process. We're at the beginning of that, and the Department of Public Instruction is requesting an almost 10% increase in funding over the next 2 years. Why?
Well, we have put together a budget that we think is a budget that is a realistic budget on the investment that needs to be made in kids at this time. And so it's an equity budget. We have found that the pandemic has exposed a lot of inequities of some certain students having access to resources and services that we hope this budget can help close that gap in access to kids. This budget and the investment in education could not be more important than during this time coming out of COVID and the challenges schools are going to face with kids coming back into the learning environment full-time, fully in-person, and when the pandemic finally is gone. And so we think it's a very important budget to get behind. We think it's a very important budget that prioritizes the needs of kids, and we think it is a great investment in Wisconsin.
Does that certainty help schools, too, if we were able to guarantee them more money? Do you think that that would help, or doesn't that matter very much?
Well, I think it matters. I think it matters. I think it's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. This is not going to magically reduce and get rid of all the challenges they face, but it's a step in the right process to continue the investment in education around the needs of kids, knowing that every kid in this state, every kid matters, regardless of condition, and a school district tries to meet the needs of kids when they have those needs to make sure that they progress. It's what we want for every kid, to be career and college ready. And so this is a step in the right direction. Resources matter. This is a step in the right direction. Districts are finding that this pandemic is not saving them resources. It's costing them resources. They'll do everything they can for kids, but we need to support them from a resource perspective.
Deputy State Superintendent, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Mike Thompson is the second highest state education official in Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. And we talked about what's happening in K-12 education in our state, from learning in the pandemic to school districts' bottom lines. Up next is news. Then the state capitol report continues with a leader of a healthcare emergency readiness coalition. This is The Morning Show. Thanks for being with us on the Ideas Network.